Gamers and watch lovers, stay frosty. We've got some covert intel ready. Movement, the official timekeeper of the highly anticipated Call of Duty Black Ops 6, is set to release a special edition Black Ops 6 watch and accessory collaboration. Shop the design seen in and inspired by the game. From the same military-style field watch that Troy Marshall wears inside the campaign, to aviator sunglasses pulled from CIA operative Russell Adler's in-game look. This collaboration brings the aesthetics of the new Black Ops 6 story straight to your wrist and wardrobe. It even arrives with custom packaging and a free gift with your purchase. A Movement and Call of Duty Black Ops 6 bottle opener keychain. According to the Wall Street Journal, Movement is on the path to becoming a heritage brand, while Gear Patrol hails their automatic watches as mechanical masterpieces. Own a piece of gaming history. Shop the exclusive special edition collaboration at MVMT.com/BO6. That's MVMT.com/BO6.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Off the ball, rugby.
It's a more appealing game to watch, for example, New Zealand and Ireland, South Africa, because of the way South Africa, brilliantly tactically set up to win games.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite, giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
We'll go to the other Ireland and we're going to put the rugby team in amber here. This looked like an unadulterated green after just 10 minutes. Ireland are 12-0 up on Friday night when Matthias Moroni is in the bin after he actually thought he had scored for Argentina after 2.5 minutes or so to put them ahead. But of course, that head collision on Jack Crowdy put him into the bin, and Ireland took full advantage of that with a couple of tries. Then Tadhg Byrne, the 15 minutes, looks like he's going to add a third, drops the ball, but even so, John McCarthy does score Ireland's third try, and that's after 32 minutes. And when the camera pans to John McCarthy and he's sticking his tongue out cheekily after scoring that try, you're thinking this could be anything, this could be a repeat of the 53-7 from a few years ago. Alas, that was the last time Ireland scored on Friday night, which is hard to believe. Second half, Argentina came out like really, really impressive. That Juan Cruz Malia try, like he beats four Irish players before he puts it down under the sticks. And then at that point, Ireland are really, really struggling. Like, so Beadham's binned in the first half again. McCarthy's binned in the second half. And the resulting penalty brings the scoreline to within 3 points for Argentina of Ireland. And then a point that I had to remind myself of this morning, Albernaz goes for a drop goal in 56 minutes. Do you remember this? To level the game. And it's actually really central. He's trying to copy what Jack Crowdy did in the first half, which is very pointed at Kieran Frawley, which is an amazing drop goal. But Albernaz has the opportunity in the first half, or second half, to make it 22 apiece. And he skews it way wide. It was like a brilliant chance that they had. And Ireland were making loads of errors again. There was a Mac Hansen pass which went to the touchline. The line out was way off, which we're going to talk with Alan Quinlan about. And they're really struggling, and that's where the fields start being chanted by the crowd. The fans realise that the players are struggling here a bit. They're going to try and galvanise them. And then at that moment, or a few moments later, Sam Prendergast comes on for Jack Crowdy and ends up performing really well, as is Jamie Osborne is on at the same time. And there's slightly more composure to that. But the worrying aspect right at the end is Argentina nearly win the game. They're approaching the try line. They're 5 metres out and they drop the ball forward. Argentina are down to 14 men at that point. They have another player binned.
The rest of world rugby is complaining, not world rugby, the organising, but the rest of the rugby world is complaining that we didn't see a replay. They're calling it a phantom knock-on.
Yeah, they were pretty adamant, weren't they? I was hoping we would see it. I was assumed we'd see it right away, but just in a game.
The Argentinian?
Yeah, the last one, the deciding one.
They were appealing. So that was Francesco Gomez Cadella. So when the full-time whistle went, the cameras panned to the coach and box, Andy Farrell and Paul O'Connell, they don't look happy at all.
It looked like a death in the family.
Yeah, and so I thought, okay, we're going to have another week now of more crisis in Irish rugby, and what's happening here? Do we have this huge problem, and particularly in the second half of games? Like, look at what we've done in the second half of games in these two November tests. Not very much at all. But there seemed to be kind of a surprising air of positivity, mostly because the first half display was very good. This is an excellent Argentina side who put 67 points on Australia this year as well. And then Australia put 42 on England at Twickenham. So this is a seriously competitive outfit. And they proved that right till the death. So in many ways, you could argue this is a good victory against an up-and-coming side when the confidence is slightly low. But I would still say that second half display was worrying because there wasn't much creativity in abundance displayed. And at times, Ireland did have the man advantage, as did Argentina. But towards the end of the game, Argentina looked the better side with a player less. Thoughts?
Argentina, very good at rugby. Ireland, squeak a win against them. Not playing brilliantly, but playing well enough. Played brilliantly in parts. An excellent game. Everybody, I think, who was watching it was off the couch anyway, and I don't know, off in the stadium, everybody was standing up for the last few minutes because it was super dramatic. And I think that sometimes Tony Ward saying, somebody who knows a lot about the sport texted him a win that feels like a defeat, and that's what it looked like in the coach's box. But yeah, you don't. It's not an easy. This is it. Like, that's why this is not Irish dancing, to quote Richie Hogan. And I thought it was a great game. Thought we played well. There's obviously loads of stuff that we need to do better. It'd be interesting to see what team he picks now for Fiji. He's talking like, we really need to win this game. There's not going to be changes. Not everybody in the squad is going to get a game. I suspect that might be post-fight. Blood is up, and that actually they think about it during the week, and that it's a very changed side because they're targeting the Australia game. Australia look reborn, and that final game against Joe Schmidt is going to be Andy Farrell's last game. You've got a theory about this, Colm? You want to float it?
Yeah, well, it's just more of a question. I wonder.
Don't back away from it.
No, I am, Arthur. Relax now. There's a theory that, like, you know, he's heading away on the Lions.
It's your
theory.
He's
gone on hiatus. And I wonder, are the players, is the focus slightly waning because they know that this guy's heading away for a while? And the intensity that we've seen in 2022 and 23 isn't quite there this time around. They know he's gone. He'll be back. But it feels like a lifetime when he will be gone for the Six Nations. I don't know. It just seems like something slightly off. We've seen it in other sports when very inspirational, significant managers announce that they're leaving at the end of a campaign. And you'll see the performance drop off. I know he's only gone for a while, but I don't know. Look, the reality could just very well be that this team is undercooked. They weren't fit at all against New Zealand. The stamina or lack of showed again in the second half on Friday night against Argentina. But I'm just wondering, is there something deeper there? The focus and together, this isn't quite there because their head coach is heading off for a while.
So are there other examples you said? Go on.
Well, there's the most famous example is probably 2001-2 when Alex Ferguson announced he's leaving Manchester United at the start of the season. And they end up losing six games the first half of the campaign. Until he reverses the decision in the December and end up being much more competitive towards the end of that side because it's like, oh, actually, the head teacher is staying around. He's not leaving. So we're going to focus on more. I know he was announcing he was retiring. It's different. But for me, it's from the same ballpark of managers leaving, concentration wanes slightly. I think it's very much human nature. And look, we're never going to know the truth of that. It'll only be explained in a roadshow 10 years down the line if that actually ever was true. But it's just something. Look, they could very likely are going to handily beat Fiji this coming weekend, and they may beat Australia, and that talk is gone. It's just something that occurred to me for the first two games. It was like, you never know, players can lose focus a little bit. Possibly.
Can I just add two kind of data points here? He's not leaving to retire. He's leaving where he's going to be able to pick these players to go and represent the Lions in Australia, which is like a career-defining moment for many rugby players, you know, right up there with winning a World Cup quarterfinal or an actual World Cup, is being a first-choice Lion because of everything that goes with it. And then the second thing is that the Lions did a mad deal with the players this time for the first time ever, where the profits are going to be shared. So it's like it's maybe a year's salary extra for playing 2 months of rugby next summer. I think the motivation, surely, is even more intense, no? If you can impress him now with his last thing ringing in his head from the training sessions, like, you're the best, you're the one who's fulfilling exactly what he says.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, the tour is so far away that there'll be plenty of rugby played in between. So, like, if you have an amazing November series and have a very poor second half of your season, like, very good chance you're not going to get picked. It's very much what's happening at the time. Like, so if you have, say, if you have a poor November series, you have an average enough Six Nations when he's not around, but then you end your season with your club really strongly. Say you go deep into the Champions Cup, like, this guy's in form, I'll bring him.
How many of those are there going to be?
It could be half a dozen.
No, there's one. There's only ever one who is like outside the... That's the way it always is. There's only ever one kind of, he came late, blindsided everybody by his selection. There's not half a dozen.
Well, then in that case, he's already picked the Irish players he's going to bring.
Well, maybe, but you don't want to be the one stinking the joint out
so
right
he's
now.
Already, so he's already picked them, which means that, of course, you're not going to play to your utmost. He's going to be gone in February. He's not even going to be there to reprimand us if we're
in
not
February,
playing well.
Yeah, in February, but this month, I think.
Yeah, your argument is only going to be one. So that means he's already picked the Irish players he's going to pick for the Lions.
No, there's only
this is
be,
almost irrelevant.
There's only really one player who makes it by going deep into the European Cup final.
Why one?
And because that's all there ever is. It was Quinny. It was Quinny until he didn't go. And then trying to think about back of the other ones who are like the late bolters who are like, oh, I unexpectedly make it. But it's not like five or six of them. And you can't like, oh, I'll make sure that... What happens if you come up against Toulouse in the quarterfinals and DuPont has the day of days and you're out?
So... But what happens
I
if you...
I phoned it in November in the safe bet that I was going to reach the Heineken Cup final.
So you think his memory of November as he says farewell to all the lads after Australia will
important.
Be like, you played really well here, so I'll see you next summer.
I don't think anybody is actually on the plane as a result of these, but I do think you can get off the plane by stinking the joint out back to back, or by being somewhat off, or by thinking that like I can, you don't matter to me now. I think that'd be crazy.
I think you could really underperform in November when you know it is.
But
a
you're
collection. It's a collection of
specifically they're underperforming.
A collection of on paper
even.
Friendly games, and then in the Six Nations when there's a trophy on the line and a Grand Slam possibility, you're definitely going to increase your intensity then.
We've traditionally played quite well in November.
This is a theory that can never go beyond these walls because we're never going to ask anyone who's going to tell us the truth if that's actually the case.
Well, I'm sure it'll be put to Andy Farrell this week. Is there any possibility that...
What do you think he's going to say?
Absolutely not, no.
Exactly. So if it's true or false, we're not going to know.
Fair enough.